Vayechi Toshinayim Ches. Okay. It says there in the past citation from the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Tzura Psucho, Tzura Stuma. See underneath over here, see these examples over here? Right? So this, see where it ends? It ends, and then they leave a space for nine letters, and then they continue on the line.
Yeah.
That's called a stuma. It's called a stuma. Stuma means it's closed off. Closed off. When you leave it wide open, right? You leave it wide open like this. That's called a psucha. You know when you see in the Chumash the pay and the samach.
Yeah.
The pay and the samach. When there's in between, you know, sections, kilo in the Torah. So the psuchos and stumos, in between partios.
I don't see any individual in this and that. They're both spaces.
Zuzan gezunt. Here, they left a space of nine letters, and then they started on the same line.
Right.
Okay? Here, over here, even though you could have left nine letters and already caught and then started on the same line, they didn't do that. They just left it blank till the end of the line, they started on the next line. So when there's when you left a wide open space, that's called a psucha. When you just leave the gap of nine letters and then continue on the same line, that's called a stuma. Stuma, satum, it's closed. It's closed. It's closed, right? This is satum, this is patuach. Okay. And the mice is a machlokis about how exactly the psuchos and stumas are done. It's machlokis the Rambam and the Rosh. But what we do is we do that,
right,
this sheet.
Why it's done?
No. How exactly, what constitutes a psucha and a stuma?
You said nine letters.
Stay calm, relax. We call that, and we'll be giving out in the morning. What do you call it? When you do it like this,
yeah,
right? Then you mekayim both shitas. Okay, this is there. That's what the Shulchan
Aruch. The Torah was written so you mekayim the shita of the Rosh and the Rambam.
Right, the way we write a sefer Torah is in a way to accommodate both the shita of the Rosh and Rambam. Okay,
how was it written before them?
What do you call it? The sefer Torah we have. I don't know what you call it. Aram Tzovach, place, I don't know. B'tzura psucho, b'tzura stuma. V'yesh machlok is ben Rambam v'Rosh. V'yari shemayim. V'yari shemayim. Yetzes kulon. V'yase b'inyan. Sheparsha psucho yisayim. Parsha lefanea be'emtza shita. Right? Psucho is that it ends in the middle of the line. V'yishtar b'sofa chalak. And you leave the end of the line blank. K'dei tesha osios. When I'm out tonight.
A little bit hot in here.
We might terminate in a moment our relationship here.
Oh. That's a possibility.
If you were going to school, where I come from, you'd be killing that by now.
Okay. Okay, so you leave a space of nine osios. V'yaskil lichto b'sov osa shita atzman. You continue writing on the same line. V'lishan alasos tzura acheres. The person shouldn't do it any differently. Lo l'psucha lo l'stuma. V'hak yavik kosher bein l'ramam bein l'rosh. Fine. And that way it's kosher called l'ramam l'rosh. However, right, over here, if you look on our parsha, even though it's a new parsha, v'achiz a new parsha, so you look at the last block over here, there's absolutely no space whatsoever. It's totally satum. Totally closed.
What do you mean?
Here, this is the beginning of our parsha, it's the end of the previous parsha. No space left at all.
So that's
it's beyond satum. It's really cool. Even when it's satum, you leave a space of nine letters and then you start on the same line. But here, there's no space whatsoever, just the space between the words, and that's it. That's the end of the story. So now let's take a look at the Chumash here. It says, "Vayichi Yaakov eretz Mitzrayim shvas er shana, v'yime Yaakov shnei chayav sheva shanim v'arba'im u'ma'as shana." This says Rashi in Pasuk Chavches, "Vayichi Yaakov lama parsha zu stuma, Rashi says, why is this parsha stuma? So he doesn't mean that it's satum, because lots of parshas that are satum. He says, but this is satum, he means it's satum lagamre. It's closed off entirely. There's like no opening whatsoever. Lama parsha zu stuma fisha kivan shenifter Yaakov Avinu, because this is the parsha. Again, this is a discussion in its own right, why it appears at the beginning of the parsha, but okay, we don't get lost in that. It says, the fisha kivan shenifter Yaakov Avinu, since Yaakov Avinu, right, is niftar in this parsha. He's niftar in this parsha. Plus also, as a function of his being niftar in this parsha.
Why it isn't.
Right. As a function of his being niftar in this parsha, things are in change now. Things are in the process of changing. The world is changing. The world is changing. Yaakov Avinu is going to leave the world now. Once Yaakov Avinu leaves the world is going to be a different place. It's going to be a different place. Remember, the dmus yokno of the visage of Yaakov Avinu is chakuka b'kisei hakavod. It appears upon the kisei hakavod. There's the example of when you have the dalad, as it were, you know, the concepts of, you know, of the lion, of the, what do you call it, of the ox, of the, what do you call it, of the eagle. Right, of the eagle, of the nesher, whatever the nesher is, we're going to say the eagle, the vulture, whatever.
Then
you tell us how to work. I'm saying on the then there's the Adam. The who is the Adam whose kaviyachol, whose visage appears upon the kisei hakavod? Right, again, this doesn't matter. It's going to be physical, but who is represented there? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu. The Chazal say that the beauty of Yaakov Avinu is ma'ain the beauty of Adam Arishon. He was the perfected human being. He was the perfected human being. And as the Ramban says at the end of the Parsha, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Then he brings to Chazal, Yaakov Avinu didn't die. He didn't die. He just left their presence, but he didn't die. He didn't die. Why? Because when a person so totally perfects his, not just his soul, but his soul-goof relationship, right? The soul anyway starts off Tahora. Elkai, we've all got a holy soul. Elkai Nishamash Nasatabi Torahi, we all start with a holy soul. But he transformed his entire being, his guf, into so kadosh that he didn't need, as it were, to be dissolved and put back together again, reconstituted, which is what Tchiyas HaMeisim is all about. To go back into the ground, to be reduced to the basic elements, and then put back together in a proper fashion, to be able to live in a healthy symbiotic relationship with the soul. He didn't need that. He was totally mitaken himself.
The ground.
Right. So he was totally mitaken himself. So he didn't die. He didn't die. So Rashi says, no, even his goof, it didn't. They just put him in the ground, but he wasn't really dead. It wasn't like, you know, in the idea of death. So what happens is the goof goes into repose in the ground, yeah, and there it goes back to its basic components, it goes fall, whatever, and then what do you call it? And then it comes for Tchiyas HaMeisim, it comes back together. Meanwhile, the soul is upstairs, right, in Gan Eden, yeah, and then they're waiting to get back together again through Tchiyas HaMeisim. For Yaakov Avinu, he didn't need to die. In other words, he could go into his goof l'chora.
He wasn't buried?
He was buried. The Gemara asked, why did they bury him? He wasn't dead. Later. That's what you do. Once it's his time to leave the company of his fellow man, so he goes to his own private place. But he didn't die.
What more did that mean?
They talk about it, and the Medrash talks about it. But the Gemara brings down in Iksubas about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that the Ramban talks about, that even Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had the capacity to return, right, to his roof, right? He would come back every Erev Shabbos and make Kiddush.
That was the only other son. Who's that? No, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi.
He used to make Kiddush. Until he stopped coming back because it was an embarrassment for that other tzaddikim didn't do it. He stopped coming back. At any event.
Other tzaddikim weren't as perfected?
Yeah.
They weren't able
to. Right.
You think he was talking in the very
I wasn't there. So very quick. So what happens? What does Rashi say further? He says, "Vayikravu," right? Back to Perek Mem Zayin. "Vayikravu Yemei Yisrael Amus." Vayikravu Vnoli Yosef. Vayomer Lo Imnam Atasichin Beinecha Simna Yod Chatachas Yerechi Vasisa Imadi Chesed VeEmes Al Matik Bereini BeMitzrayim. Right? If you please do with me, right? A Chesed VeEmes. Rashi says Chesed VeEmes is a Chesed Shel Emes. Chesed Shel Emes. What does it mean, a chesed shel emes?
No idea.
Right? A chesed, in other words, every chesed that a person does can always have a little bit of a flaw in it. There always could be a little bit of a fly in the ointment.
So that's a good point.
Right? In that, when you do a chesed for somebody, the anticipation is that that person is going to do you some favor in return.
A personal something.
Right, he's going to do a favor in return to you. With a mace, though, since the mace is leaving this world, right, you don't anticipate he's going to do anything for you.
That. Maybe he's going to do something for you. Maybe he'll stick up for you and ask your money.
Could be. The truth is that's a different system. Because the fact is that person, even if a person does a chesed and he knows he's going to get tsar for it, So why isn't that also tainted? We do it for a mace. I'm doing chesed for the what do you call for the mace. I'm bearing the mace. And he knows he's going to get reward for it, but kanirea, that's not a problem. In other words, the chesed shel emes is that what I'm doing for this, right? In other words, this person with this body, right, etc. I'm doing chesed by burying the body, right? Burying the body now. So that's called chesed shel emes because this connection between this goof and this body, this person, as they are in their body, what do you call it? They're not going to be able to give me to me in return because they're gone.
I don't know. Tell my friends when they died, they should come back to me. They don't get a lottery.
Okay, fine. So Rashi says, right? But Rashi says, I'll not take Bereini b'Mitzrayim. Don't bury me in Mitzrayim. Don't bury me in Mitzrayim. That's the little Chumash. I'll not take Bereini b'Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, why? So he brings from the Medrash. Soful yos afra kinim. Right? The offer of what he called of Mitzrayim is going to turn into lice during the Eser Makos. The offer, right? The offer of Mitzrayim is going to turn into lice. Okay. In addition, v'she'ein meisei chutz la'aretz chayim ela b'tzar gilgul mechilos, and those who die right in chutz la'aretz, they need to travel through the tunnels. Right, they need to be mezgalgel until they come back to Eretz Yisrael. Right, v'shelo yisuni Mitzrayim avodas elilim, and so that the Mitzrayim will turn me into an avodah zara.
That's three things.
That's three reasons why he said, "Don't bury me in Mitzrayim." Instead, what does he say? He says, right? He says, "V'shachafti amavosai." I'm going to, you know, leave the environs of regular people. I'll be with my forefathers. Unisasani b'mitzrayim, you'll carry me from Mitzrayim, v'kvartani b'kvurasam, and you will bury me in their burial place. And Yosef says to him, "V'omer anochi esechet varecha." It's like he's describing over here. He's being so careful with his goof. Again, not because I don't think he's concerned. I mean, you could say he's concerned, you know, for his pain, his suffering, etc. He doesn't want to roll to Eretz Israel. He doesn't want what he called it. He doesn't want to have the kingdom going through his body.
There's no personal agenda.
Right, but you could. You okay? Yeah. You could say that what he called it, that it's an issue. You could say that's an issue of his personal concern, but I don't think that's the issue, because the Gur Aryeh, the way he works at it, really all these things can be avoided.
But if he was going to be an Isle, he probably wouldn't be able to see a
cover. Oh, time out. So he says all these things can be avoided. In other words, if they buried him in the ground outside of Mitzrayim, so then if they buried him outside of Mitzrayim, so then there's no problem with the kinim going to his body.
Here, but only in Mitzrayim?
Right, only in Mitzrayim.
I thought the other markers were with the other parts of Chutz La'aretz as well.
No, not the Kenyan.
Darkness was all over the world. Everything else was there.
as we said, Keenim, Rinkoat, wouldn't be in his goof. He wouldn't be over the Wurzari because he'd be buried in the ground. He wouldn't be Nevad. And he record, and eventually when they leave Mitzrayim, so then they'll go back, they'll take it back to Eretz Yisrael. So when the time for Tchias Amazing comes at the end of days, he won't have any of these Gilgul Mechilos. He wouldn't have to roll through anything. But I dare say, and the Maral says the only reason he didn't do that is because he didn't want to take him to Chutz Lars, bury him there, and then dig him up again and take him again to Eretz Yisrael when they left at the end of the Shiva Mitzrayim. Okay. I dare say, though, right, that when the Gemara says that the difference between the Tzaddikim and the Rishayim is like a king who gave clothing to what he called two sets of servants, right? The wise servants, they made sure that those kalim remained clean, right? They folded them, they pressed them, they put them away, made sure that they stayed clean. And the other ones weren't wise, yeah, weren't wise, so they got them all filthy. Then the king called them to a sa'uda. To a banquet. So the ones who are taking good care of their clothing, they get dressed up and they come. And the other ones who didn't take care of their clothing, all filthy, they're embarrassed. They have nothing, they don't want to come in. Right? So that's what he called. So that's the comparison to what he called to Tzaddikim and Rishayim. The Tzaddikim, they make sure the goof is not mislachlech, doesn't get all filthy with all sorts of averas and things like that. They take good care of it, they press it, they clean it, etc. And then therefore they have what to wear to come to the banquet. The Rishayim, on the other hand, they've got their clothes, they look good in everything they eat. Right? So what do you call it? They look filthy. They look filthy. Right? By the same token, also, I dare say over here, right, that's the pshat in what Yaakov Avinu is doing over here. He's coming and saying, right, he's going to be mechaber his guf. He knows that right now is the time, right, the time of the separation of the guf, even though he personally never really died. Right? But he wants to be mechaber the guf that they're going to put in the ground. Don't put it in a matzah where Kinim will be in, what he could be in the guf. Don't put it in a matzah, right, where I have to roll to Eretz Yisrael. Don't put me in a matzah, don't put me in a situation where the mitzvah could turn me into an avodah zara. To be mechaber the guf. And he does this through the process.
What they do is they embalm them.
Seder. They put this in the process. What's that to press X?
Well, they just embalm them, saving the goof.
Okay, I said that. He didn't tell them to embalm them. That was what they did. That was their decision here. No, this wasn't his. He didn't say that. No, that's what I'm going to say. That means that's what doesn't say in the Torah.
Well, Yosef didn't call
them. Yosef told them to, but he didn't do it. Right? He didn't
have to. Why did Yosef tell
them? I don't know. That's what he called. Right? That's probably the cover that they would do there in Mitzrayim. So
they're king.
So he wanted him to mechaber it that way. But anyway, but he's mezakeh Yosef also. He takes leave of Yosef with a chesed shelemes. Right? The midah of Yosef. The pasuk says, "Tov ein yivorach, ki nasan milachmo ladal." Right? Blessed is the one who's got a good eye towards other people. Right? Not a bad eye. He looks at the other people, and he's got something, critical. Right? Thanks. Let's not talk about it. Right. good eye. Is blessed. Tov ein yivorach. A person with a good eye is blessed. He gave of his bread to that one who was needy. Zeh Yosef, say Chazal. So the Pasuk also, Yaakov Avinu advocates, quiet, of Seder, I understand, but he's being mezakeh as Yaakov is folding up his clothing, telling what he wants to have done in terms of folding up his clothing. As he's folding up his clothing, so he's being mezakeh Yosef, who's needy.
Giving the merit
to what he calls Yosef, right? Who is a master of Chesed, right? He's a master of Chesed. He's giving him the coup de grace of the Chesed Shalemes. Okay, fine.
I guess the bigger the person, the more great is the mitzvah.
The bigger the person, I mean, maybe the bigger the mitzvah, obviously he'll do it in a finer fashion.
He's burying his father. He's getting a couple. He's getting more
enjoyment.
I don't know.
Again, I'm not sure what you're addressing. What, he's not getting...
He was getting personal satisfaction.
He's
getting...
Say it, but he's doing it for his chesed. It's really cool. He's doing it not expecting to receive anything physical from the person. He's doing a physical act. He's going to make sure that his father is buried properly in the way that his father wanted. He's not expecting a physical payment return from the mace. That's what a chesed shalem is. Again, the whole discussion is there's a machlokas, the Mizrachim, and the Gurarie. I don't think we'll get mileage out of it.
What's the first question?
The Gurarie says that anytime you do a chesed, and you're not expecting any payment. So the Torah refers to a chesed, chesed ve'emes. He brings other examples by Eliezer, when he's speaking to Besuel, by Rachel Hazona, when the Meraglim say to her that they're going to do with their chesed ve'emes, etc. But the Maral says, no, the only real chesed, Rashi said over here, chesed shalemes, the chesed you do with a mace, is chesed shalemes, it's only when you do with a mace, is it called chesed shalemes. When you do it with anybody else, it's chesed ve'emes. It's chesed and it's emes, not chesed shel emes. Okay, let's take a look at this Tzfas Emes on the bottom of page 1. Tzfas Emes says,
is it some sort of personal gratification or return? Other than
a
mace, with anything else?
No, he's not necessarily saying that. By a mace you can't get something physical in return. The Mizrahi wants to say, even if you could technically receive something in return, since you're not anticipating getting anything in return, and that's what your motivation is, that's all to go to Chesed Shalemes. And the Maral says it's not true. All right, whatever. I don't want to get lost in it. It's an interesting point. It's an interesting variety, but okay.
So you're pointing that to Joseph.
He's doing a chesed shalemes. Not according to everybody. Everybody reads it over here as chesed shalemes. It's pure chesed. Pure chesed. He's not expecting to receive a physical thing in return for this physical act that he's doing for the mace. He's not going to get anything in return from the mace.
How would you describe the mitzvah to a wife this person?
It's not a chesed shalemes. I mean, first of all, she's recalled. It has nothing to do with it. She's not doing recalled. I mean, you could say she's doing a chassadim, but in the Lomaisa she has certain chiyuvim as well. But that's not our topic now. You need something. I'm not sure it's ammunition. Fine. The pasuk says later on. The pasuk says later on in the parsha, it says by Yehuda in Perek Memtes Ches. That you could call it in the Chumash.
We don't have it on here.
It's in the Chumash.
Why don't you give me that? We don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's tough for you. Right. It says in the bracha that Yaakov gave to Yehuda. It says Yehuda ata yoducha achecha yodcha ba'oref oivecha yishtachavu lecha bnei avicha. Right. Yehuda. Right. Your brothers, yeah, they will give praise to you, born out of the mission that you are their leader. Kilu yoducha achecha, yadcha ba'orach avecha. Your hand will be upon the neck, right, of your wrinkled nape of the neck of your enemies. Yishtachav l'chol b'nei avicha, and the sons of your father will bow down to you.
That's the bracha that Yehuda got from
Yaakov. Right, this is the bracha that Yehuda got from Yaakov, and it's addressing the idea of Yehuda being the melech. Right? As the psukim continue, right? Who are Yehuda? He's compared to a lion who's crouching, etc. Karar, Ravatz, Karyeh, Chalavim, Kimin, like a crouched lion, yeah, ready to spring. Right now, lying low to the ground, but ready to spring out. Yasur Shavid Yehuda, the scepter of staff of Yehuda will never leave his hand, the idea of dominion of Malchus, Mechokik Ben Raglov, and the establishment of laws will not leave from between his legs, Ad Kiyavo Shiloh, until they come to Shiloh, whatever that means, right? until the building Beit HaMikdash, or until the Shiloh, which is the place of the Mishkan, will no longer be here. Below Yikas Amim, and to him will gather the nations.
How long was it? Was it for 200 years?
In Shiloh? Well, it was a February, could maybe 200. But anyway, that's what he called. That's the Binabakis Pshat. It's not the standard Pshat. The standard Pshat is Akiyaboli Shiloh, is what he calls talking about the Lossi Lovo. Okay. But anyway, Lossi Lovo is not referring to Akiyaboli Shiloh. It's not talking about the Mishkan Shiloh. Right? It's talking about the Lossi Lovo.
How, I don't know what I'm getting to.
Okay. Fine. So let's take a look. Right? When Rashi, Shiloh is like, you know, Melech, the Melech that to him everything, whom everything belongs.
Shiloh.
Rabbon Shalom. According to Rashi, I'm saying, is not referring to the place Shiloh. It's not a Melech HaMashiach Shamalucha Shiloh. All the Malchus is his. That's what I'm saying Rashi says. But Binabaki says it's referring to Shiloh, the place. Right? But Rashi doesn't explain it that way.
Shiloh is another name for Yehuda?
No. Akiyavo Shiloh is a reference to Melech HaMashiach. He will have the Malchus until the days of Melech HaMashiach. It's going to be from him. And Shiloh means the Melech HaMalchus Shiloh. All the kingship will be his. Okay. So then again.
Just the word itself.
Right. So it says, Ki Yehuda, so you'll see this Vasevis, Ki Yehuda Heichin HaDerech L'chol B'nei Yisrael V'nikru Yehudim Al Shmo. He paved the way.
Yehuda
paved the way for all the Jewish people. That's why Jewish people are called Yehudim. And that's the strength of Hodah, right? Of praise, which is born out of admission, to be Moda ala Emes, to admit. Ubezeh yecholim lisdabek be'emes, v'hi b'chinas emuna.
He admitted he was wrong.
Right, but it's saying, but this koach, he transfers to the people. This becomes the symbol of his leadership, and this becomes the means by which everybody else is able to jump onto the bandwagon. Everybody else is able to bring themselves close to Hashem through the process of admission that they may have done something wrong beforehand. And that's their praise, as it were, is born. The praise of Hashem is born out of the fact that Hashem is there for me. I admit that I did wrong. He's there for me. He's really cool. He's going to help me. I admit that I wasn't doing the right thing. He's going to help me. And through this, says the Sfas HaMis, in this fashion, they're able to attach themselves to truth. Now, there's two ways to be attached to truth. A person can live in the world of truth, and a person can not necessarily live in the world of truth, but after he realizes that he is far away from the truth, he knows that Hashem is still there for him. He admits that he was wrong, right? He admits to himself, he picks himself up, and this enables him to come back to the truth. So those people live in a rarefied world of truth, and those people, as it were, who meander about, you know, in the difficulties of life, in the, you know, the low points of life, and then they realize they do tshuva, and they're moda, they admit, and that's how they pick themselves up, and they're able, through Yehuda's leadership, because he's the master of tshuva. He's the master of tshuva. They're able to attach themselves to him, to follow his lead, I should say, really, and that way to bring themselves back to the emes, lizdabik the emes, the ibechinas emuna. Right, that is the nature. In other words, the sfas emes, many times he says that Yosef is the master of emes, and Yehuda is the master of emuna. To believe that you've never been cast off, that everything is from Hashem, and really quoted, even though you messed up, right? You have the ability through tshuva to be able to return, because everything is Hashem's, and therefore there's nothing that ever falls out of Hashem's will so far that a person can't reconnect to him. That's the world of emuna, of belief, that everything can return to Hashem. Okay? So through the emuna, right, he's able to come back to emes. So Yosef is the tzaddik. He's the world of MS, And Yehuda is the world of the Baal Tshuva. He's the world of Emunah. To believe that I can, what do you call it, that I can come pick myself up even though I've messed up. Ibechinis Emunah, Kara Ravatz Kari, like a crouched lion, low to the ground, it looks like he's very low. But all the potential there to spring up again is always there. Even when he's low down, but all the potential there to rise up again is there. That's Yehuda. And that's the model that he sets for the Jewish people. That's why he becomes the leader of the Jewish people. And that's why Mashiach is going to come from David. David HaMelech. Yeah? David from Yehuda. Because that's what the Jewish people need. That's the ultimate leadership of the Jewish people, is to enable everybody, right, to pick themselves up. Not just one or two or three or four. Everybody can be picked up. Right? By Yodchel Agadel L'Chazek L'Kol, Saint Dominic, right? That Akkadosh Baruch Hu can be Megadel and be Mechazek and strengthen everybody to make big, right? Like right off.
That's a
Yom. Yeah, we'd call it Dominic, right? Yesh Noshaim Aidei Hisnasus. There are those who are saved, there are those who are attached to Hashem through making themselves big, like Yosef. He perfected himself. And there are those, as it were, who attach themselves by toughing it out, you know? After they've fallen, right? To be called to overcome, you know, to overcome, to fight against all the mess that they put themselves into.
John Wayne.
That's a show. The Yosef Nis'al of Madrega Gavoa. Right? Yosef. Yosef Nis'al of Madrega Gavoa. Right? Yosef, what do you call Yosef? Well, rose up. Yeah, he reached a high madrega on his own. Okay?
So did
Yehuda. Yehuda nitelo hachizuk kmo shehu who governed the Marisaye. He, what do you call Yehuda, right? Yehuda is his tshuva. Yehuda is, he admits. Yehuda, he messes up, but through the koach of breaking the inertia, the falling inertia, that strength, when he knows, I know Hashem won't leave me, right? I know Hashem won't leave me. So through that, right, he has Siyata Deshmaya, and that's how he attaches himself to Hashem. L'chein ko Hashem bo, im os dalet. Therefore, all of the name of Hashem is inside, what he called, inside the Yehuda. The Yud, with a Hey, with a Vav, with another Hey. It's also just that they've got a dalet in the middle. The dalet is Miloshan Dal. He realizes his poverty, his poorness, his what he called his lowness, right? Loneliness. He recognizes that. And that gives him the ability to be able to connect everything in life back to Hashem. The mistakes, the right things, everything is returned back to Hashem.
Okay, Yehuda admitted Kate with Tamar.
Yeah.
He didn't know what the reaction. Did he know what the reaction was? Maybe he would have got thrown out. Maybe Hashem would have
said.
So he
That's on the contrary. That he did what was right.
He didn't say, I'm going to do what's right, Hashem's going to protect me. He didn't know what that
no,
was.
Right. He just really quite knew he had to do what was right vis-a-vis Hashem. I mean, he knew that Hashem would accept him. He didn't know what the reaction would be here down on earth, right? That could be the end of his career, right? But he knew that I have nowhere else to go. I have nowhere else to turn. I have no option. All I can do is just admit and do what he called that I did was wrong.
Sorry. What was the instance again that Yehuda was in Gehenna for the time because he didn't keep his vow or oath and Moshe had a daven for him?
Okay, that's a separate thing.
I forgot what that was.
That was what he called when he said that if he didn't bring Binyamin back, so he would be like Hilah Benidui in Shemaim. So after he died, his bones were still rattling around. They didn't come together in the right? Yeah, I understand. But even when it's done on Atznai, right, the Gemara says that he would call it that as something that a curse that's even said on Atznai has an effect. Right. It's like wearing an asbestos suit, but you're standing next to a nuclear, what we call it, explosion. So, you know, whatever. Lomer Eshkon is Dako Lefi, recalled the Lace Lady Garmet Klum. He's always of the opinion he has nothing of his own.
Who's that?
Yehuda. That's what he calls the nature of the world of Tshuva. Ahayavo, V'chines habito legamrei l'kodesh baruch hu. I have nothing except Hashem. I have nothing except Hashem. The eved melech melech. He makes himself into a complete servant to the king. A servant to the king is himself a king. So that's how we call that's Yehuda's derech. And yeah, kodesh baruch hu mashpil geim u'magbia shvalim. Kodesh baruch hu also, is mashpil geim. He lowers the high, umagbia shvalim, and he raises those who are low.
That's
what Hashem does. The ina perish al mishu bal geya b'sheker. We're not talking about a person who's a bald guy, a guy walking around with his thumbs, what he calls stapled to his suspenders. We're not talking about with some a show off. Ach hamida hi kach kifi lefi yisromus hageim kach yesh ben bechinas hashvala. The bigger a person is, he has to eventually be lowered to show that everything is in Hashem's hands. V'hakol eidus al borei.
Then you are in the heart and
form. Sort of, right? But again, the idea is that hakol eidus al borei is barach. Both of these trends, both the fact that somebody who's on top of the world, again in a proper fashion, eventually is lowered to show that everything is in Hashem's hands. So Yosef, who is the tzaddik, Yosef, who is the master, Yosef, who is the king, right? Eventually it has to be lowered. It has to be lowered. To show that Hashem is really cool. Hashem is the only one who never is lowered.
When did that happen?
Eventually, let's say in during Bais Rishon, for instance, the Jews are always referred to as Ephraim. In the Navi, they're always referred to as Ephraim. The Mishkan is in Shiloh, which is called Oel Shikinbo Adam. It's the tent within wherein the Shechita rested inside man himself. Inside man himself, because Yosef was a perfected person and Shiloh was in his chelek. With the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, the destruction of Shiloh already beforehand, then you move to the Beit HaMikdash, it's no longer going to be in Shiloh. It's going to be in the Makom HaMikdash, which is going to be in the chelek of Yehuda and Binyamin. It's not going to be in Yosef anymore. With the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash altogether, in the later Sfarim of the Tanakh, in Ezra, and what do you call it, in Nehemiah, in Megillas Esther, the Jews are not called Ephraim anymore. They're called Yehuda, right? They're called Yehuda. Yehuda.
That is a blow to Yosef.
Yeah. Again, it's not a blow. It's just that the world of the perfect can't be forever perfect.
Yeah, but I would think that it was something that started in his lifetime, Yosef.
No. No, what he called he remained the king. What he called remained the king until he passed on.
The king,
he wasn't lowered, right? Yehuda, on the other hand, because his whole nature is to lower himself, so all the path of Hashem is seen through him, through raising up the one who's lowered. He's always making himself low. He's always making himself low. So therefore, you see Hashem's involvement in him by always Hashem picking him up. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is mashpil geyim, right? Umagbia shvalim. He lowers the ones who are high, and he raises up the ones, who are low. So that's the difference between Yehuda and what he called and Yosef. This is between Yehuda and Yosef.
It's a weird thing.
Why?
Look, he also was a big disciple. Why did he want to lower him?
You don't want to lower him. It's not as a punishment. It's just that things have to be revealed. The court have to make themselves revealed in the world that there's only one who's never lowered, and that's the Rabbon Shalom. Again, no, he's not being punished for it. It is the process. It's like even when we talk about, let's say, the Sarim, Sfasem says, the Sarim, the archangels in heaven. Some of them are lowered, right? This one's lowered, this one's knocked down. What do you have to knock them down for? What do you call it? Because it's necessary that in creation is revealed that there's only one who remained always on top. And that's their Boshel. Right? He go, oh, God, Hashem always remains. He is the proud one above all the other proud ones. All the other proud ones have a cycle attached to them. They rise and they fall. Only the Rebbe Shlomo always remains in a state, because that's part of understanding that the Rebbe Shlomo is the source of everything, the destiny of everything. it's necessary that everything that rises to great heights eventually has to, what do you call it, has to come down to show that there's no, when a person is living b'shiflus, when a person is living with the understanding that, what do you call it, I'm zero, that's what he called, that's Yehuda, that's the Hodah of Yehuda, that's David, he's got the Dalit in his name. Dalit is all Nisham Dal, but poor, I have nothing. Right? That's why in Yehuda it's got the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei with a Dalit in it. In other words, through my Dalus, through my looking at myself as lowly and nothing, etc., that's how I bring Hashem's name into the world, because he's picking me up.
What's the word for meaning for that represents Dalit?
Dalut.
Dalit, Lamed.
Dalit, Lamed, Vav, Tav.
Better
to start on the bottom. Yeah, yep. That's it. You can't plan that.
Maybe you know the
Shem plan. So now the other thing that we understand from this, if you go back to Rashi, Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says, Vayishtachu Yisrael, that you bowed down.
This was the bracha for you.
No, this is what he called. This is in the beginning when Yosef, going back to the beginning of the parsha, Yosef first appeared, and Yosef said that he would bury his father in back in the Maaseh Machpelah. So it says, yeah, Vayomri Shavali. Yaakov said to Yosef, swear to me. Vayishavalo, he swore to me. Vayishtachu Yisrael al Rosh Hamitah. And Yisrael, yeah, Yaakov bowed down al Rosh Hamitah. So Rashi says over there. Rashi says, he's bowing. He's always bowing to Yosef, right? It says Kala beidna, a fox in his time, sagidle, bowed to him. He's referring to Yosef as a fox, right? He's referring to Yosef as a fox. And there's the idea being. That Yehuda is compared to an Ari, says Fasemis. Yehuda is compared to Ari, to a lion. The lion is the king of the animals.
That was Joseph's brother, the fox?
No, he's not a fox. He's just at this point over here, when Yaakov bows down to him, right? He bows down to him, right? As every quote, he says, just as you bow to a fox at the time when he's got all the cards in his hand. Tal of Idna. It to the fox at his proper time, sagidle, you bow down to him. Okay? Says Pasemes, even though Yehuda is really the Melech, Yehuda is the Melech, he's the Ari, he's the lion. But the lion also sometimes, recall, there are moments in time when you need the fox. Right? You need the fox. The fox, as it were, record, has points of wisdom that are necessary that record in order to be able to even to advise the lion, as it were. So what he's saying over here is that the fox has got like his mazel. He's got a day, you recall, where he'll make his appearance. He's kind of not Lahavdil, every dog has his day, Lahavdil, but what do you call it? But the fox has got his day.
When is his day?
It's what he called, depends. It's what he called. That's when the mazel is. The mazel becomes and recall that he's going to be necessary. So what Yaakov is doing over here is he's pointing out, he's summoned Yosef. This is before he dies. They're entering into the world of darkness. Into the world of darkness, there are going to be points where it's where you're going to have to. You're going to have to go with the mazel, right? Yosef happens to be the king now. He's not going to be the ultimate king of the Jewish people. But Yosef is the king now. You're going to have to go with the flow. His bowing to Yosef is showing the Jewish people that you're entering now into a world of darkness. I'm leaving you. I'm folding up my clothing. My group is going to leave Mitzrayim. It's going to go back to the Maaseh Machpelah, right? Yaakov is the ultimate of perfection. But you're now entering into a world where at the same time you'll have to go with the flow, you'll have to bow down to the fox. He's using Yosef as a muscle. Because Yosef now in the situation there, he's the king, even though Yehuda is meant to be the king. But because of the needs of time, because of the needs of what the first world orchestrates, the events, especially in the world of darkness.
But this is one of these things that the whole world is changing.
Oh, the world is changing. So look what he says. Look what he says. He says, Talibin this time, they bow down to what he calls, bow down to a fox when it's his time. And then afterwards, Rashi says, Al Rosh HaMitah. It says he bowed down towards the head of the bed. Says Rashi, Hafach Atzmo Letzara Shechina. Mikan Amru Shashchina Lamala Mirashosef Shalchola. He turned his face towards the head of his bed. Why? Because the Shechina was there. So he's bowing towards the head of his bed while he's saying, "You should bow to the fox right at its time." Next, Jatan Rashi, Dabrachir Al Rosh Mita Al Shahaisa Mitaso Shlema Lohaya Barish Rasha Zarios of Melechu. Right. Another reason why he's bowing down, giving him thanks. Right, giving thanks to what he called to Akadosh Baruch Hu, that all his children remain tzaddikim.
So go back with the bed. The Shechina was at the bed.
The Shechina was bed because he was ill. So he bowed towards the Shechina.
Who, Yosef?
No, Yaakov.
Yaakov was
bowing towards the Shechina.
He was already in bed. He got out of bed and bowed down.
Yeah, I guess so. As he's what he called declaring, bow down to what he called to the fox at his time. Hey, what are we talking about? He's saying to everybody, bow down to the fox in his time, and he turned towards the Shechina. Or in respect to the Shechina. Or he's saying, bow down to the fox in time, and his bowing is an expression of thanks to Hashem that his children remain tzaddikim. What's going on? What are you doing? He says to bow to the fox. Which is the Yosef, and then Rashi says the bowing is still towards the Shechina for whatever reason, either in thanks or deference. But that's the nature of the world they're entering into. You're going to have to go through, break one, you're going to have to go through the motions of Olam Hazeh. There are going to be times you're going to have to bow to the fox. You're going to have to bow to the fox because his time is there. But at the same time, don't forget who you're really bowing to the Shechina. Who you're really giving thanks to the Shechina. Right? There's going to be a double agenda from here on. When I was alive, things were clear. Right? Things are clear. But now the world is entering the world of darkness. So what do we have here? We have two things. We have in front of us, this parsha is a closed parsha, completely satum, completely sealed off. And that is entering into the world of darkness. And Yaakov Avinu explains, so dramatically, as he bows before what he called Yosef, while the direction of his bowing, right, and he declares, when the fox is on top, you bow to the fox, yeah? But as he's doing it, he's directing himself towards the Shechina. But you should know that as you're bowing, have in mind that really you know that Hashem is orchestrating all of this. Even while you're bowing to the fox, it's not the fox beats on himself. It's because Hashem, who is the source of everything, is what he called. He's the one who's orchestrating it. But that's a difficult rope to walk, right? To do an act and have in mind that really I'm not bowing to him because he's in control. He's just you give kavod, right? Where kavod is due, but at the same time knowing what's the source of everything is the Ribono Shel'Olam. And so too also, right? And part of the path that he's laying before them, this very, very confusing path where you're doing an act and yet you have to have in mind what's really going on, is there going to be people that you're going to see meet along the way. Great Jews, they're going to be Jews of great heights, right? And Jews, who are not great heights, but have strengthened themselves to pick themselves up out of what he called out of nowhere, right? And the ultimate leadership of the Jewish people, there will be those people who are going to lead along the way who will be great people to begin with, but the ultimate guidance of the Jewish people is going to come from the ones who pick themselves up. Right? The Mashiach comes from Yehuda. Then we'll go on page 2 and let's see the closure. This is the end. Now Yaakov actually is passing on. Vayikra Yaakov el bana vayomar yasvu vagidu lachem, underneath the hatched line there. As Asher Yikra Eschem Ba'achmi Sayyami. This is where he gathers them together. He says, I'll tell you what's going to happen in the end of days. He called two v'shamu b'nei Yaakov v'shamu el Yisrael v'ichem. Gather together, the sons of Yaakov, and listen to your father, right? So, He wanted to tell them. He wanted to tell them to prepare them, right? To clarify them the path of the confusion that they're going to find before the end of days. He wanted to make it clear for them. He wanted to make it clear for them. The end of days, not when they're going to leave Mitzrayim. The end of days. He wanted to explain to them how to manage over there. How do you negotiate? It's going to be so confusing in the end of days. And all of a sudden the Shekhinah leaves him. So the Medrash says, he says that, what do you call it? He turns to them and says, something wrong with you? You have a machlokas with Hashem? Right? You have a machlokas with Hashem? So they say to him, no, they say, right, quote, they say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu.
Who asked that?
Yaakov asked, what he called to the Medrash says, yeah, Shem Yesh Bilvachem Machlokis Al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Maybe you have a Machlokis with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Who asked Yaakov something wrong?
No, Yaakov asked his sons, right? he wanted to reveal to them how to negotiate the end of days.
Well, Yaakov
wanted to reveal to his sons
the end of days.
And all of a sudden, the Shekhinah left him. He couldn't reveal it. So he says to them, maybe there's a machlokes. Maybe you guys are not one with Hashem. Hashem is not allowing me to reveal it to you. So they answered him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad.
That's what they said.
That's what they said to him. That just like you have Hashem Echad in your heart, so do we all have Hashem Echad in our hearts. We have no machlokes. Not a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then Yaakov Avinu, right, in turn said, right, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed. May Hashem's name may it be made great. May his mouth be made great from out of the deeds of this world. In other words, he wanted to give them clarity, but Hashem took it away from him. He couldn't give them that clarity. Rabbinim Mipshisch said the reason is because Hashem wanted to show him that their avoda then, in order to get out of the metz, is going to be an avoda of emuna. Even though it's not clear. Not to have it clear, you know, how to negotiate all the terms here. Just to be mommy. That's their avoda. So that's what it's taken away from them. That's what it's taken away from him, the ability to be able to give them that clarity to how to negotiate the end of days. Because what Hashem wants in them is to struggle in their emuna, even when you don't understand. That's in like the derech of Yehuda, right? To struggle to believe, even though you don't see it clearly, and the emuna that you have eventually will bring you back to the emes.
Who says that?
That Rabbina Mipshiska, what do you call it? The Svatzemes. He quotes it.
That's what we're holding today.
And what he says to them, Sefer Charedim, the bottom says, right, what did Yaakov say? He said, V'agilakam ashikreskam achris yamim. Right? So he tells them what's going to happen in the end of days. And then he says to them, Hikavtu v'shamu b'nei Yisrael v'shimu el Yisrael avichem. Gather together and listen to your father, what he called Yisrael. So the Sefer HaKoreinim says, right? He wants the Jewish people. In other words, how are we going to make it through the end of days? We'll make it through the end of days on the one hand through emuna, like we saw from before. You can't know the clear map directions, yeah, on what to do at the end of days. You can't know it. You have to do it by emuna. And the other thing is you have to do it together. The Lashon of Shema Yisrael is not just saying to Hashem, to Yisrael, to Yaakov Avinu, that we say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's not just we're addressing him, we're addressing one another. Shema is the Lashon of gathering together.
So, Emuna and unity.
And unity. And that's the way we'll make it. That's what we'll make it.
I would check for $10,000.
You started off, and you ended. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.